Today's totally different podcast, you know, something that we haven't done yet. Someone who's not in our industry, but works for a very large public figure. I met Joey, 3 years ago? Somewhere along that now?
Yeah, two and a half. It was like January 2022.
That's impressive that you know that. That's cool. Yeah. And, you know, he was actually a sales guy for someone that I follow pretty closely. And then we just kind of started talking, and we kind of talk like once a month here and there. We had coaching calls together, just learning about each other. Made a really good connection with Joey, became a friend. I jumped on his podcast, which was really fun. Now we get to flip the script and get to interview Joey. So everyone, welcome Joey Raimondi. Please give a big shout out to him. And for all of you that are wondering who he works for, he actually works for Patrick Bet-David. So it's going to be pretty solid. So most of you guys listening to this are entrepreneurs. And I would say 95% of you are following Patrick Bet-David already. And for the 5% that aren't, you really need to. So welcome to the show, Joey. Appreciate your time for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me, Jonas. This is awesome. I'm excited for it.
I'm excited too. So why don't you just tell us who you were in high school? Like, I know you probably heard this from Patrick Bet-David a lot, but if you and I were sophomores in high school, who is Joey back in the day?
Oof, sophomore in high school. So I was a bit of a nerd and an athlete. So I kind of got friends with everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I was friends with people in theater, and I was friends with people who played sports because I was playing hockey while I was doing theater. So it was a whole lot going around. But, you know, I was friendly, and, you know, there kind of came a time where, you know, I would stand up for the little guy, you know, because being in theater, you know, sometimes it's stereotypical, they'll get picked on or made fun of. Right. But me playing hockey, people really wouldn't want to make fun of you or something like that, because you know that you can handle yourself. And I kind of protected the little guy whenever I could. So that's basically the type of person I was in sophomore year.
That's really cool. So a lot of people on this podcast won't know this, but I was in chorale in school. So I was in this, you know, we always sang, and it's kind of the same story. Like, those people would get picked on, but I was a wrestler, I was a football player, kind of the same scenario, but I was the little guy. So I was a feisty little guy and a little man syndrome for sure. But kind of the same thing, just stuck up for those guys, you know, cause they're super cool too. After high school, what did you go do after that?
So I went to play hockey in college for Monmouth University.
Sick.
And, you know, but throughout high school and college, what I was doing was I worked for a mobile DJ company. So I was always into entertainment, right? Mm-hmm. I would dance. I would MC. I didn't DJ, but I was always performing. I was one of the performers. So during college, as I was playing hockey, I really took the music a little bit. And then I started performing at private and local events to, you know, doing hip hop all around the country. I was out in Vegas. I came down here in Florida, New York, New Jersey, Philly, a good amount of time in Los Angeles and just California in general. So that's basically what happened. And I actually majored in criminal justice, which I am doing nothing with that degree right now. But, you know, entertainment has always been my passion and really what I wanted to pursue my whole life. So that's what I did after high school.
Cool. And then did you work for entertainment after that or in between those, or is that your first gig and you got right from there into where you're at today?
Yeah, I was always working for some type of entertainment company. The first company I was with them for about, 12 years. And then the next company that I went to was a lot younger, newer. You could just tell that there was a lot of potential behind it. So I was with them for 6 years around. So I was doing that almost 20 years. And even during COVID, you know, personally, I was doing at least 150 events, just me, every year, right, for those 6 years. Wow. COVID happened. I went from doing 150 to like 12. So a friend of mine, we're looking for other opportunities. Florida was open. So we both came down here, Helping them build that up now. It's called 732 Event and Design off of our area code. But that's when the door opened here at Valuetainment. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna definitely go over there and see what I can learn.
So you were living in California?
I lived in California for 2 years.
And then when COVID hit, you moved to Florida as well?
Well, I moved to California. Then I came back to Jersey because then I had the chance to start over with that other entertainment company, yep. which was awesome because essentially I was getting paid just to work for them and nobody else. Normally, as an independent contractor, you can work for multiple DJ companies, okay. right? Because it's very seasonal. Sometimes you'll get booked on one event all month. I was getting booked on 2, 3, sometimes 4 events every single weekend. So in order to prevent any competition, they just said, listen, if it's one event a month, we don't care. We're still going to pay you salary, right? If it's 20 events a month, are you okay doing that? Absolutely. Because in the summer, sometimes you go a whole month without doing anything, right? But I really wanted to be the absolute best performer, especially as an MC. So that basically increased my value for the company. And they said, you know, that's it. Sign this. We got you. Nobody else. Boom. And then that was in Jersey. And then COVID happened. And I was like, that's it. Florida, baby. Here we go.
Yeah, Florida's awesome. Follow the podcast a lot. Talk about the Sandas a lot down there. Doing good things. You know, when COVID hit in Michigan, it literally shut down. You and I talked. Like, we couldn't do anything. I rolled out into Florida. And it's like, man, it's like the world just kept on going. Like, you didn't even notice. It was so cool. So the opportunity opened up at Valuetainment. Did you know at that point who Patrick Bedavid was? Valuetainment must have been pretty new at that point, I would assume.
Yeah, so I was, I forget how I found him, but the first video I came across was How to Think Like a Grandmaster, where he's really going, when he first put together, like, how to strategize your next 5 moves.
Yeah.
So I was following the channel for a while, and then I actually bought a ticket to go to the vault. And it's so funny because on one of the podcasts, he said, yeah, we're down here in Boca Raton. And all of a sudden I get a phone call and it says Boca Raton. And any other time my phone would have said potential spam. But I was like, you know what? This would be crazy because I literally just heard it on the podcast. So let me take the call. Sure enough, it was a program director selling me a ticket to the vault. And I said, absolutely, let's do it, because I was going to come down here anyway to look at the scenery for the DJ company and everything like that down here. So that happened. And then a couple of weeks later, I was told that they were looking for somebody in events or somebody who can speak. And then they said, oh, yeah, we'll interview you, right, if you come down here, because I did 2 Zoom interviews. And then they said, we'd love to interview you in person. There's a chance that you will get hired. So me knowing what I wanted and me just being like, I'm either all in or I'm out, right? So I told my fiance, I said, listen, you know, I've been following this guy. This is a great opportunity. I'm going to be heading down there anyway, but this is the move. So I left her. She did join me 4 months later, but I packed up, left my friends, my family, based on a chance that I might get a job. Next thing you know, here I am almost 2 years later. So
that's super awesome. And congratulations, because she's not your fiance anymore.
Correct. Yes, I am officially a married man. And it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
That was a month ago?
Yeah, almost a month.
Because you were, when we were down in Boca, you were gone.
Yes.
But I will say that I did send you a picture that you were on that big banner.
Yes, it's true. I was there in spirit.
You were there. Did you know that was going to be there?
I had no idea. You sent me the picture. And then after you, I got a couple other photos of that as well. I was like, oh, man, this is cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. But did you realize how big of an influence or big of an impact Patrick Bedavid was making at that time when you joined the team?
Not really. I just knew that he had a big impact on me.
Yeah.
Because he was making me think differently.
Yeah.
You know? And but the role that I took here wasn't content or anything like that. It was sales. So again, I'm either all in or I'm out. And I was making close to like 100 phone calls every single day.
When you applied for the job, it was for entertainment though, correct?
It was for like to do events.
Gotcha. So walk us through that process. Like, okay, so you went to the interview, you interviewed for a job, you didn't necessarily get that job. So how did that go?
So I gave him my experience. I was more of an entrepreneur, obviously, with the with the DJ company. And, you know, Mario just said, like, hey, you know, I understand that you've been doing events, but I think you would be great at sales. And I'm thinking, man, I'm sitting this close to Mario because, you know, I watched all those videos of Pat and Mario is almost all mentioned in. Yeah. You know, so I was like, OK, I'm here. I don't just have a foot in the door because sitting at the table, I am here in the room. I'm going to take whatever it is that they offer me. Right. So I took a 1099 sales opportunity. I didn't care what position. Right. If they would say, hey, do you want to be the janitor? I would have taken it, you know. And thank God that I did, because when it comes to being creative, I would say, you know, I'm very, very high up there. When it comes to the business acumen and all that, especially at that time, I was very low because all I did was everyone was creative, right? So taking that role as a salesperson and calling all these entrepreneurs, listening to their stories, sitting in on these mentorship calls with Pat, right? Whether it was one-on-one, any type of mastermind, right? Going to all these seminars, my identity just kept growing. And, you know, even now I'm able to look at creative endeavors, projects, whichever, through a completely different lens. And one of my favorite quotes is Leonardo da Vinci, where he says, study the arts in science and study the science in art. And, you know, just having that lens kind of helped me do that a little bit better.
That's really cool. So then you took the sales role. You did that for 2 years, correct?
Almost. Yeah. So I just transitioned down to booking and content coordination, like right before my wedding. So a little over a month ago.
And what's that transition been like? Is it so, like, do you love it there?
I love it. I love it.
So what do you do now?
I'm still calling up people.
You're booking, right?
I'm sorry?
You're like booking, right?
Yeah, so I'm booking for some of the podcasts. So it's, you know, same thing, emails, cold calls. Well, I know Adam, I know Pat, but I don't know you. Okay, cool. Well, let me introduce myself, right? And start building that relationship with them. You know, because for the most part, a lot of people were dealing with either one of the other bookers or with the talent directly. So just making that whole transition has been awesome. I love it. You know, sometimes you still need to find a system that works, and I'm still in the midst of doing that. But it's, you know, I feel like I'm almost there, and I just love it, man. It's a completely different lens. Yeah. Now I'm more in a creative role, but now I get to use, you know, that business acumen and whatnot. So it's a completely different experience.
Yeah. Cause you're reaching out to some pretty high profile people. And do some of them actually respond, or are you going through like their agents and looking up their agents, and how does that work?
Yeah, for the most part, they respond. Really? They'll say, hey, this is great. I appreciate you reaching out. I'm going to loop in my manager, my agent, right? But at the end of the day, when they come here on location, I still have to deal with them one-on-one, right? I was on a call earlier today with an influencer who's going to be on SauceCast within the next couple of weeks. And I was dealing with him direct.
Cool.
You know, it was just a one-on-one conversation on the phone. And that went awesome. So you get a little bit of both.
So you're doing it for Patrick and Adam as well? Are you doing it for everyone?
I'm doing it for Adam, Jedediah, BizDoc, and Vinny. And sometimes I'll offer ideas for PBD as well.
That's pretty cool. Everyone's going to want to know, like, what is it like to work for a Patrick Bedavid? Like, what is the atmosphere? Like the accountability level, like what is that like?
I'll say it's very competitive. Somebody just rang a bell up here, right? I mean, somebody got a sale or whichever. And there's three sales teams. So each one has their own bell, right? So it's a very competitive environment because Pat came from sales, doing insurance, right? So he likes to kind of throw fuel on the fire a little bit. But it's always going to be competitive because that's who Patrick is. Accountability. I'll just say this, right? In one of the meetings, Patrick wanted to know, what are our goals? This was right after the business planning workshop. So I made my own business plan, and I have two versions, one at home, a big version, another one that I just fit in my pocket. So I'm always reminded of it. And he's asking all of us, what are our goals? What do we really want to achieve? And he's taking notes. So in terms of accountability, you know, he knows us individually well enough where if he sees some decline in performance or whichever, he can then have a conversation and call us out. You know, he knows how to have those one-on-one conversations, but then he can say, hey, I remember you wanted to do X, Y, Z. Is what you're doing right now going to increase your performance so that you can hit those goals? Well, I hope so. Okay, well, why do you want those goals? You know, so he wants to hold you accountable, because without that accountability, you know, it's you're just drifting.
Yeah.
You know, there's no real direction. There's no one really pushing you to accomplish those goals. They're just words on a paper at that point.
Yeah.
You know, it's very high accountability. The pace is it's constant. And we have a saying here. It feels like we get done in 1 week. In 1 week, it feels like a month went by because it's just constant. You know, we have a book of the month. Every single month, we have to do a book report. I think you started to implement this, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're not reading or if you slow down a little bit, then everyone else is just going to keep passing and you have to catch up, you know, and it's being here has helped me grow personally exponentially. I'm a completely different person.
Yeah. What are the hours that you're supposed to work? Is there set hours or I just can't imagine what it's like.
It's so, of course, W-2, it's either 8 to 5 or 9 to 6. But for the most part, man, especially when I was in sales, you know, because I'd be speaking with people in Hawaii, or China, Japan, and, you know, the time difference is insane. So, sorry, there's a train going by. I'd be working here all day. Then I go home and I'd work up until 11, 12, sometimes 1 a.m., you know, and that's just for valuetainment tasks. That's without, you know, me being a writer and still wanting to pursue my own creative endeavors as well. And even now, booking, it's a lot more research. So I'm up late researching potential guests, you know, what kind of stories happening with them. This is why that they would be a good fit on this podcast or this podcast. So it's a lot of hours. It's definitely a lot of hours, but it definitely pays off.
Yeah. What are your metrics to yourself? You say I make 100 calls a day or 100 calls an hour. What are your metrics for yourself?
For sales, it used to be making 100 calls, you know, every day. And then those calls would get lower to like 70 or 80 because then more people would pick up and I'd have more conversation, right? Now it's just in terms of what are new names, how many people have I reached out to for the week, and how many bookings did I get, right? And still, I got to follow up. It's very similar. Yeah, you know, this is great, but I'm going to be in LA filming a movie, or let's touch base in like 2 months. Perfect. It's the same thing, same model.
That's wild. Like Patrick's very, very good at like taking these big ideas and making them very simple, like for all of us to learn. Is he like that, like on a daily basis with you guys too? Like he always has a way to like turn it into like a little story. He's very good at storytelling. So he comes up with this big idea and then he breaks it down into like little bite-sized pieces for us to learn. Is he like that in person when he's training you guys too?
Absolutely. 100%. He's because, you know, his story is so unique, right? Being an immigrant, coming here, building himself, you know, multiple companies. He's a very successful person, right? And he's actually a a great example of you, especially if you're born in this country, you have no excuse.
Yeah.
You know, there's no excuse. Man. Somebody had to come here, learn the language and build himself up. So for us who have been born here and with the language that we didn't, you know, it's, there's no excuse. So he's been through a lot of different scenarios that allows him to, he can take, you know, a snippet from this experience and this experience, and he ties them together. Because when we would meet, he, you know, first 5-10 minutes, he'd share some things that are going on, but then he'd go, all right, what do you want to process with me? So it's almost like an in-person mastermind, right? So, hey, I came across this scenario. How would you overcome that? And he would think for a little bit, and he goes, you know, this happened to me back then, and this is what I did, right? And, but again, he's still having that one-on-one conversation with you so that he can make it relatable to how you personally can overcome that.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It does. And I see that a lot, like even on the podcast, like he's just so good at that. Yeah. I'm sure not with him all the time every day, but how often does he come to the office? Once a week, once every couple of weeks?
He's here every day. He's here every day.
That's awesome.
You know? Yeah. Obviously like sometimes he'll travel, but it's still for valuetainment, but he's every day.
And do you still have like a one-on-one coaching call or coaching with him every single day, like a sales meeting, like the way he used to run PHP? Is it like that?
So in content, not as much anymore as I did in sales.
Yeah.
But he's still, that's something that he's always doing. It's a little different because sales, you know, it's 1099. Now I'm W-2. So you get to see the leadership development. For me, at least, it's a lot more clear, right? He has managers, and then he's training those managers to develop other leaders and managers, right? So I really get to see it because now I'm in the trenches. I'm not just a sniper, right? Now I'm in there with the platoon in the this firsthand.
What do you think the biggest thing you've learned from him? I'm sure there's a lot, but... Like, what's the one thing that changed your lens forever?
I'd have to say I'm caught between accountability and time management.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's almost like 50-50. I can't pick one.
Okay, let's go down those roads. Tell us a little bit about both those then. I think that'd be helpful for everyone listening to this podcast.
Yeah, so you have a goal for yourself, right? And how do you hold yourself accountable? You have to look at your daily monitoring activity, right? Oh, I was in the office for 10 hours and, you know, okay, out of those 10 hours, how many calls did you make? Oh, I made 30 calls. Okay. How long does it take you to make one call? Oh, it just takes me a couple minutes. You know, so after you reverse engineer it and you calculate it, you were in the office for 10 hours, but you worked maybe 4. So what were you doing for that other 6? Right. And, you know, if you really want to hit your goals, then you have to hold yourself accountable. Right. So looking at the day, all right, I'm going to wake up here. I'm going to go to the gym here. I'm going to get in by 8. And it's really just making the best use out of the time that I'm here. Because never listen to any YouTube book or whatever at 1x or 2x speed. Me now doing that it's a game changer, you know, because the time, like a 20-minute video, I listen to that in 10 minutes and I'm still able to absorb all the information, right? Little things like that. How many, again, going back down to the calls, the emails, now it's email templates, different types of outreach, different types of meetings, collaborations. So time management and accountability, because I know what my goals are and I have to hold myself accountable to them, because if, you know, if I didn't want to achieve them, then I wouldn't be here right now.
Yeah, for sure.
So now that I'm here, how can I make the best use out of that time, especially now that I'm married? You know, the commitment to my wife and my life outside of here has changed, You know, I can't just be here 24 hours a day, although I wish I could. But the reality is, I still have a wife, and she still needs my time, my attention, you know? And it's not so much finding that balance, it's just making it work.
Yeah. And the reason I was laughing when you were telling that story, because when we were at the last sales leadership conference, he was talking about that exact same thing. But he'd walk into his sales meeting and say, well, you were doing this many calls. He asked the guy the question, how many calls can you make in an hour? He's like, well, I don't know, 100 or whatever, or a day. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, how long does it usually take you? And he'll tell you. And he's like, what were you doing the other 4 hours you were here? So you're telling your wife that you were at work for 40 hours, but you're actually only here working for 10. He's like, I'm going to call your wife. And he's like, no. He's like, well, next week, if you don't come in and change your numbers, I'm calling your wife. I was like, that is wild. Yep. I love it.
Yep. And now, because my wife was at the vault and she heard something very similar to that, she holds me accountable according to those metrics, you know? Because if I tell her, oh, it's probably going to be a long day. Well, is it going to be a long day, or are you actually going to get stuff done? And now it's like, oh, man, okay. I'm going to get stuff done, which is why it's going to be a long day. You know, but it's, again, that extra push, that extra accountability, because one of my goals.
Yeah, is she going to go to the vault 2023 then?
Most likely, yes, most likely. So I'll be, yep.
That's awesome.
Even more accountability.
And then, yeah, right. So then you talked about the 2x speed with podcast or with books. Like, mm-hmm. if everyone follows Patrick, when he reads, he reads at a 2-3x speed too. Like, he just spits it out. Does he listen to a podcast on the 3x speed or 2x speed?
Everything he does is at 2x. He'll be walking through and you can hear the guy speaking, or, you know, whomever speaking on the other phone. And they're speaking so fast, but he's listening to it. Okay, got that talking point. Boom. Next one. You know, but everything he does, always at 2x speed.
Yeah, what is his, daily routine? Is he one of those guys who's up super early, up super late, doesn't sleep much?
I believe so. But again, he has a family too. Yeah. You know, so him as a leader, he really leads by example in the point where he's here, like I said, every day.
Yeah.
But he manages his time where he gives Valuetainment and his other companies the right amount of attention, right? Which is a lot of attention, but he still gives his family the attention that they need, you know? But he's here all the time. I don't know what time he wakes up. I don't know what time he goes to sleep, but, he makes it work
for sure. So, what does your future look like? I know the future always looks bright there, but what does Joey's future look like? What do you want to do? What are you going to do?
So, I'm a writer. I'm a screenwriter, right? So, anything that I want to do in terms of my own side creative projects is always going to be towards cinema or writing in some way, shape, or form. You know, I've written over 100 screenplays.
Wow.
So, my future looks like talent, coordination, content, and cinema, whether I get a manager or an agent, which I've never really tried to. I think I should at least try to get a manager or agent now that I have that many works written. And just see, you know, I don't know what move Valuetainment wants to start doing, movies and all that stuff. Pat said that he's open to it, right? But when we do get to that move, then that's something that I really want to pursue.
That's really cool. With all the new AI tools coming out, are you using some AI to try to help with, like, speed up the content creation? Or what do you think like that?
Not really. In terms of storytelling, absolutely not. Like, if there's an article or like an email, sure. But in terms of storytelling, I don't think I would, not yet. I haven't. And the reason for that is because within every great story, the main character, even the villain, they always have an arc, right? The character arc, who they are in the beginning of the film or story is nowhere. Like, they're not the same person at the end of it, you know? And I don't believe, to be honest, I don't trust AI has the capability to really understand the human experience as to what causes that arc. What, like, what's that aha moment for a character, right? Because that character, whether it's an actual human being or, you know, like a cartoon or whatever animal, they still have human characteristics and qualities. That's what makes it so relatable. At this time, I don't think, and I don't trust AI actually has that capability to really figure out what it is that sparks that character to say, ah, this is my aha moment. This is why I have to do X, Y, Z to become the person I want to be.
I mean, 100 stories is a lot of stories. Like, how long are those stories typically?
So I didn't start writing short form content until I got down here. But they're anywhere from, I think, 88 pages. Because Hollywood likes, you know, 90 pages is like the hour and a half standard. Like, it has to be at least 90 pages.
Wow.
And I believe the longest one is about 210 pages that I've written. So, yeah.
Where do you find the time?
So I found the time back when I was in New Jersey and I was working for that DJ company when they said, we don't want you to work for anybody else. Here you go. So I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to live modestly because I really want to attack. Like, I had all these ideas in my head. I just never put them down. Mm-hmm. So that agreement that I had with the entertainment company gave me the time to just sit home and write. All I did was research and write every single day. And I even extended my own day to 36 hours. So I would stay up for like 30 hours and then I would sleep for six and then I would get up. So I was always seeing like two sunrises or two sunsets, right? Like every other day. And that's all I did because, you know, again, I'm either 100% in or I'm out.
Right.
So I said, I'm not going to do anything but work whenever they needed me to work, which again, could be one, sometimes nothing or four or five times in a week, but this is what I'm going to do. So I found all that time while I was working with them. And yeah, now it's just very short form, you know, just 10 pages or whatever. But, you know, all that time that I put into writing, it gave me the skill set where, Jonas, if you say, you know what, I have an idea for a movie. I want you to can you write a script on Turf Badger?
That's sure. Show.
Give me until Monday, and I'll, you know, if you told me this on Friday, by Monday, I would give you 100 pages written.
Wow. That's impressive. Impressive. But you trained yourself to do that so well. I mean,
right. And I didn't realize I could do it until I was actually tested on it. And I was, oh, okay, cool. Well, let's see what happens.
Yeah. Cause 100 pages times 100 pages long. I mean, that's a lot of books. Do the math real quick. You've written a lot of stories and put down a lot of pieces on paper. That's for sure. Are you writing it out by hand or is it just on the computer?
So I always do an outline by hand.
Okay.
Because whenever I write anything down by hand, I don't have like a photographic memory, but like it's burnt in my, you know, in my brain. So, I would write the outline by memory, on paper. This way, when it came to typing, I wouldn't have to really look over all the time and look at it. The outline was already in my head and I could just go to save time.
So in 3 to 5 years, you want to do more of like content creation, but what's Joey's next five moves?
Oof. So with the independent streaming and OTT, right? I truly believe Hollywood has its back against the ropes. Yeah. And you can see that with the content that's coming out now. It's either recycled from 30, 40 years ago,
Yep. You
know, or it's just not that good. It takes me a half hour to find something to maybe watch. And then by that time, I'm like, all right, do I really want to watch it? I just wasted a half hour trying to find something. I've seen this movie 10 times already, you know. But once the independent cinema really goes up against Hollywood, I'm going to be that screenwriter that helped lead the charge to take down Hollywood. Not a studio, not two studios, but the entire industry.
That's fire right there. And knowing you and the competitive spirit, like the person you work for, the person you are, like, I know you're going to do it. And I'm going to hold you accountable, just like you hold me accountable.
Please do. Please do.
We'd be on the phone and be like, well, what if I don't get this done? Joey's like, well, then we just won't talk anymore. I'm like, fair enough. It's like every call that you call me and you don't have your stuff done, I'm just going to knock off a half hour. It's exactly what you told me. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a strategy call, right? And like, well, if you don't get it done, I'm going to knock off a half hour and you can't talk to me anymore. I'm like, oh, well, probably going to get my shit done then.
But you're the man, Jonas. So you always, like, you said you want to take over pest control industry. Like, you're going after Terminix, right? You're doing that. I mean, a couple months ago, you were at 4 locations. And now you're at 5. You know, you're going to be hitting 100, 200. You're going to be taking over, you know? So you holding yourself accountable makes me want to hold myself accountable so that the next time we did link up and you're like, oh man, what's going on? I got 5 locations. Damn, what's going on? What do you have going on? If I sit here and say, oh, I don't have anything going on, what the hell am I doing? Yeah. Why are you talking to me then? Right.
It has to go both ways. For sure. Cool. Well, like I said, I told you that I wouldn't keep you more than 45 minutes. I know you're at work. I don't want to take too much of your time. I appreciate you. I appreciate your friendship. Thanks for taking the time to spend with us today. This is super fun. Again, you and I could talk for hours and hours and hours on end. But I said, we just got a short amount of time with you, so I appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate you, Jonas, especially for the fact that you are now officially a Valuetainment insider, I believe, right?
You came out to SLA,
you came out to the vault. So I appreciate you and congratulations for being, you know, such a valuable member in our community. So thank you.
And we're taking, I think, 5 or 6 guys to the vault this fall too. So we're running another competition like we did last year. And we're going to take all of the same people we brought last year, plus all the top rookies for this year who wins that competition. And we're going to take all of our boys out there and stay down in Miami. And that was so much fun. The guys absolutely loved it down there.
Awesome. Yeah, you got a good crew. I can't wait to meet the new rookies this year.
Cool. All right, Joey. Well, again, pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Likewise, Jonas. Thank you.
Thanks for checking out another episode of the Pest Control Millionaire Podcast. If this was valuable to you, please leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. It really makes a big difference for our growth. And if you do need any help growing your business, go ahead and check out pestcontrolmillionaire.com. We have lots of courses up there, from sales to operations. I have some courses there about producing short form content. Plus, we have a mentorship program where you can get one-on-one business coaching from the Pest Control Millionaire himself. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.